Respected Ulama Ikram, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy, natural deen to follow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us in that ummat which is the last ummat, having the last shariat, having the last kitab, having the last rasul, which is complete and perfect in nature. The topic that we have chosen concerns sins. So inshallah, I intend defining what is a sin and then going on to explain the causes of reformation generally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a shariat. Shariat meaning laws, rules, regulations. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called Shari alayhi wa sallam. Shari alayhi wa sallam meaning that he is the one who is expounding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is the one who is explaining the deen of Allah to us. He has explained the deen practically to us. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked that explain the character, personality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that he is the Quran, meaning he is the living Quran. The Quran is in text, and the text of the Quran is the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent down to explain to us in detail, minute detail, that these actions please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those actions displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repeatedly in the Quran Kareem, after explaining laws, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a sentence. He says, Tilka hudud Allah, that these are the boundaries of Allah, that these are the parameters, that these are the limits. For example, if you take a compass and you draw a circle, then all within that circle, that is within the Sharia, and that is within the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is within those roads that will take us to Jannah. And all outside that circle will be now going across the boundaries, across the limits, will be going across the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be transgressing the law, will be becoming disobedient. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in a hadith, and he gives an example of cattle grazing. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his kamalat, one of his perfections, was difficult concepts of Jannat and Jahannam, and very, very difficult concepts. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should give examples, and so simple examples that any person could understand it. For example, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that like cattle grazing, we should be cautious that the mouth of the cattle or the mouth of the cow does not cross the boundary, the stipulated boundary, and try to take some grass from the other side of the fence. While the cattle is grazing, while the cow is grazing, then it must graze in that circle or in that boundary, in that limit, within that limit. And if it goes across those limits, then it will go into the neighbor's cattle grazing area and it will take the grass from the neighbor, which this person is not entitled to. So Allah's Nabi stated that al-halalu bayyanun, that halal, permissible actions, they are apparent or have been made apparent, very clear, crystal. Halal, everybody knows what is halal and what is permissible activities. And al-haram ubayyun, and haram also everybody knows. You do not have to be a major scholar in Islam to know what is halal and what is haram. Everybody knows that gambling is haram. Everybody knows that fornication and adultery is haram. Everybody knows that womanization is haram. Everybody knows that wine consuming, alcohol taking is haram. Everybody knows that this lotto that has come up is haram. You don't have to run to any iftar department to find out that this is haram. Everybody knows that to go to these casinos and gambling dens is haram. Everybody knows that to come to the masjid in a state of purity is permissible. To perform salat is good action. To give zakat is a good action. To go for hajj is a good action. To smile with a Muslim brother is a good action. To help the poor and the needy is a good action. To fulfill the rights of the neighbor is a good action. To behave well with the entire community is a good action. These are very easy things. Everybody knows that. But وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and that which is in between haram and halal, that is doubtful. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that is doubtful. فَاجْتَرِبُوا, that abstain from that. Stay away from that which is doubtful. And the easiest way and the most simple way to become a pious person is to abstain from the doubtful. And in order to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if one has to just follow this formula, that act upon that which is halal, stay away from that which is haram, and also stay away from that which is doubtful, a person, he inshallah, will gain proximity unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly. Now, as I explained to you, that a person, if he draws a circle, and all that in the circle is permissible, all outside the circle is not permissible. All that in the circle is Islamic, all outside the circle is un-Islamic. All in the circle is the way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. All outside the circle is impermissible and haram. All that is in the circle is halal. All that is outside the circle is haram. All that is in the circle is obedience, and all outside the circle is disobedience. All inside the circle will bring the mercy of Allah, and all outside the circle will bring the wrath of Allah. All that is in the circle is permissible to do. All that is outside the circle is sin. All that is outside the circle is sin. So the definition of sin will be what we call masiyat, will be to transgress the stipulated law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To transgress the law as explained by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To become disobedient. To disobey the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To transgress the hudud of Allah, the limits of Allah, the boundaries of Allah, the boundaries and perimeters which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated and outlined, that we will term in Shariat, that is now sin. Anything going against the pleasure of Allah, anything going against the mercy of Allah, anything bringing the wrath of Allah, anything bringing the anger of Allah, that is sin. Now when we have defined what is sin, then understand another point, that sin as it is linked to the Anbiya alayhi salam, and sin as it is linked to the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and sin as it is linked to the Awliya ikram, and sin as it is linked to common Muslims, ordinary Muslims. Because every person on the surface of the earth, he is prone and has the potentiality of committing sin. And our achievement is to stay away from that sin. That is our achievement. You see, a person, if he cannot see, if a person cannot see, and he says, you see, I am such a good person, I don't look at the girls that walk around. Has he done any achievement? He says, no, a person who cannot see, he says, no, I am so nice that I do not look at pornographical things. A person who cannot see, he says, no, I do not look at nudity. Actually, he hasn't got the potentiality of doing that. And a person who is bedridden, he has to say, you see, I'm such a pious person, I don't go to the casinos and gambling dens and all those places. There's no achievement in that. Achievement is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to see and we abstain from the wrong. That's an achievement, and that is when the pleasure of Allah comes, that is when the mercy of Allah comes, that is when proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. A person who can move has got all the amenities of sinning and he still does not sin. That's an achievement. A person has got the vehicle, he's got the cell phone, he's got petrol, he's got fancy car, he's got luxurious vehicle, he's got everything at his means, and still this person, with the help of Allah and mercy of Allah and grace of Allah, does not go to the wrong place. That person has done some achievement. Understand this point very careful. Then you will realize where piety stems from and where righteousness comes from. Little deviation that was, however, that Anbiya alayhi salam, the prophets of Allah, the Nabis of Allah, the Rasuls of Allah, they do not commit any sin. They are masoom. They are masoom and mahfooz. They are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken away by Halima, and she belonged to the Banu Sa'ad tribe, and as a last resort he was taken away. When Hazrat Halima came to Makkah al-Mukarramah to look for a baby, because all the ladies of the rural area should come to Makkah so that they can get the babies to breastfeed. And there was no remuneration, there was no payment, but they expected some gift. There was no official payment, but they naturally accepted some gift. So what these ladies should do, they should try to go to the wealthy homes where there were babies born, so they take those babies, and after they will breastfeed them, after 2 years they will bring them back. Obviously they will get some gifts, handsome gifts. So when Halima came, she came first of all with her husband Haris, and they came, according to one narration, with a donkey, one narration they came with a camel. But the camel was lean and the vehicle of transport was very slow. As last resort, when no one was giving her, because she already was handicapped in one way, she had already one son, Abdullah, whom she was not giving breast milk properly. She was very weak and feeble. So the people obviously knew that. So why give our baby when there is a problem already? So they were abstaining for that. However, Hazrat Halima's last resort, when she was informed about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's birth, she went to Abdul Muttalib and told him that, I would like to see your baby. He said, no, it's not my baby, it is my grandchild. So she said, can I see him? So he said, okay, wait here, I bring him. He went and brought Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says that as soon as I saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I told my husband that this child, there is something about him. There is something on his face and there is something on his features that we have to take this child. No matter what, but we must take this child. So she was given the responsibility and she took Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how they were seated on that camel, Haris was seated, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the center, in the lap of Halima. And the camel refused to move. So Hazrat Halima told her husband Haris that it is better, I think, if you come down and you hold the camel by the reins and pull. So he said, okay, let us try that. So he came down, he held the camel by the reins and it moved. But they got a little bit away from Makkah al-Mukarramah, because Banu Sa'ad tribe should stay between Makkah and Taif. When they got a little bit away from Makkah, the boundary, then Haris decided to get onto the camel again. When he got onto the camel, camel refused to move. So Halima, she had a lot of insight and foresight. So she sensed that there's something here. So she told her husband Haris, that, oh Haris, that why don't you take Muhammad on your lap and let's see what happens. So she gave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Haris. Haris took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the left. The camel woke up and moved. And the camel was now going very fast. So the people who came with her, they began to say, oh Halima, what has happened? What has happened to your vehicle of transport? What has happened to your camel? She said, nothing has happened to our transport. But the people on the transport have changed. The people on the transport have changed. Now I have got a baby Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, after 2 years she brought Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back. And she insisted to Hazrat Amina that, give me the baby. She said, no, 2 years is over now. She said, no, give me, sir. I will look after him. So, gave him again. And Abdullah and Shima were the son and daughter of Halima. And they should play with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Halima, what she should do, she should leave Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at home and let Shima and Abdullah go and graze the sheep and look after the sheep. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I also want to do that. So Hazrat Halima said, no, I cannot allow you because you are under my custodianship. He said, no, I would like to go with my stepbrothers and sisters. I would like to go. He said, okay, go. After a few years, Abdullah and Shima came running to Halima and said that, oh mother, two people are busy killing our brother. They have come and they are opening his chest and they are doing some funny things. So she ran, screaming his name, shouting, complaining. And she also got the neighborhood alive and running behind to only find Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing under a tree playing with a twig. So she asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened? He said that, no, nothing much. But these two people came dressed in white clothing. They laid me down. I could see everything that was happening. And they opened my chest. They cut it open. They took my heart out. And they took one piece out. They washed it and they put it back. Now for a mother to hear that, she's horrified. What's going on now? What am I going to say to the people of Mecca? Because here I am custodian of the child. So she asked him again. He said yes. And the marks were visible on the chest of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right up to the last ages. Shima says that when she visited Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then she reminded Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of two things. One was that while she was playing with him, she had bit him on the shoulder. And there was a mark. And of this mark also, this open heart surgery mark. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when one of the wives asked him that, "Oh Rasulullah, for every person there is an angel and a devil. Have you got your devil?" He said, "Yes, but my devil has become Muslim." Meaning he's in full control. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this event here, ulama ikram say, that piece of heart, that piece of flesh which was taken out, was that if there is any potentiality of sinning, was removed. And wisdom and insight, foresight, was filled in the chest of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi of Allah is always protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he told his friend that, "I also would like to see the wedding of the Quraysh. How the Quraysh make their weddings." So he said, "Okay, what you must do, that you go take my turn in grazing the sheep. Because if I have to go for that function, whole night function, and I'm going to sleep in the daytime, so will you take my shift?" He said, "Okay, I will take your shift, you can go." So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ghalabat al-nawm." Then when I went there, I slipped away. Sleep overwhelmed me, overcame me. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine hand is on Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, protecting him in totality. So that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one can say that he sinned. And this event took place twice. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when there was reconstruction of the Kaaba, then he wanted also to take part. And he was carrying those big stones. So one of his uncles told him that, "Why don't you take your loincloth, your lungi out, and put it on your head or shoulder?" Now if a person has to do that, then his satr opens. No sooner Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that he's going to remove his loincloth, then he swooned and he fell down. So he said, "Yes, this is a sign, I must not take out the loincloth." The satr of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not even shown to the public. So a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is masoom. He is free from sins. He is free from major sins and minor sins. Before the proclamation of Nabuwat and after the proclamation of Nabuwat, a Nabi is masoom, completely free from any sin. Concerning Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is stated they are not masoom, they are not innocent, but they are mahfuz, they are protected, they are safeguarded. And did the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in sin? Yes, they did sin. But there is great wisdom in their sinning. Today no one can point a finger at the Sahaba and say, "Allah protect us, oh Sahaba, we're sinners." Those statements only come about when there is lack of knowledge and ignorance and arrogance and stupidity. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they sinned, and Islamic hudud, Islamic punishment was enforced on them. So today we can safely and comfortably say that Islam is practical. In the time of Sahaba, it was implemented. Now if it was not implemented in the time of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, then today's orientalist and today's so-called historian will say that, show us in which era, in which period Islamic law was enforced and implemented. We can comfortably say it happened during the time of Sahaba Ikram, it happened in the Khulafa'i Rashidin time. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made them sin, and then Islamic law was enforced, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that radiyallahu anhu wa radhu anhu, that he is happy with them and they are happy with him. Now when Allah is happy with someone, we got no right to be displeased with that person. When Allah has granted them jannah, we got no right to criticize them for a second. So Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they are protected from sin. Awliya Ikram, the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not masoom, they are not protected, and they are always vulnerable. That is why, as a result, that you'll find a person that he is sane today, and tomorrow he can lose that position. On the other hand, you'll find, later on I'll narrate to you, a person is ordinary person today, and the next day he is sane. As a result, the same law applies for common ordinary Muslims, that everyone is vulnerable to sin, can fall prey to sin. There are historical records that there was pious people and they saw some beautiful woman and unfortunately slipped and went out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is sin as far as the Anbiya and the Sahaba and the Awliya. Now we get two types of sin. One is major sin and one is minor sin. Major sin is that sin wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed His detestment, His abominability in the Quran and Hadith, a mutawatira, continuous Hadith. Now, such a sin where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse is upon, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's severe warning is upon, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has repeatedly cursed that, and when Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned about his punishment severely, then that is classified according to the fuqaha ikram that as major sin. As major sin. Adultery, fornication, gambling, drinking, alcohol, consuming interest, writing interest, taking interest, witnessing interest, sodomy, lesbianism, homosexuality, disobedience of parents, abusing rights of others, not fulfilling the rightful rights of others, all this comes under major sins. Leaving of salat, not paying of zakat, not going for hajj when it is obligatory for the person, not fasting in the month of Ramadan when a person is able to do so, shaving the beard, trimming the beard. These are major sins, not minor sins. Acha, remember, these are sins, but there are certain things which are kufr in nature. Understand this point very well. That if a person has to mock at the smallest of sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes out of the fold of Islam. Because this is the importance and significance and value of the sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a person cannot mock at the sunnat and cannot mock at the shariat and cannot mock at the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He cannot mock at Allah's laws, or he cannot say anything against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these days, unfortunately, because man has got tongue in his mouth and he thinks he is a little bit clever, he reads a few books and writes a few articles, he thinks he is a big scholar in Islam. As a result, what happens? You get people saying, no, we should revise the inheritance laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is happening in our country, by the way. And these are so-called scholars. They say, no, that now we should have the woman completely equal to the man. What about the ayat of Rijaluna Qawwamuna ala Nisa, that men are supervisors, custodians, they are the ones who must worry about the welfare of the woman? Respected elders, these are blasphemous statements. These are not sins. Those statements take one out of the fold of Islam. Respected elders, then you get minor sins. Minor sins obviously will be opposite to major sins, wherein the warning and the sternness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab has not been mentioned in any Quranic ayat or hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, a minor sin, when it is repeated, becomes a major sin. And when a minor sin at times, when it is done openly and shamelessly, becomes a major sin. For example, a person, he is in the habit of talking to ladies openly, shamelessly. Now this, if he is doing outside and everybody can look at him, then that's a minor sin. But if he does it repeatedly, it becomes a major sin. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, has stated that if you knew the azab, the punishment of holding a female stranger's hand, then you will prefer holding live cinders in your hand than holding a female stranger's hand. Unfortunately, you will find that everything is happening. Go outside and see what the world is doing. It is horrific. And this is done, unfortunately, by so-called pious homes and noble homes, and scenes of nudity shamelessly. Unfortunately, again, you'll find that this is happening in some so-called good homes. So we got major sins, we got minor sins. Now both these, major and minor, are linked to two others now. They are linked to what we call hukukullah and hukukul ibad. Hukukullah, the rights of Allah. Hukukul ibad, the rights of mankind. So major sin and minor sin will be linked to the rights of Allah, and major sins and minor sins will be linked also to the rights of mankind. Rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically of devotion, of ibadat, of sincerity, performing of salat, giving of zakat, going for hajj, fasting in the month of Ramadan, discarding them, unintentional, is a major sin. And if a person, there is a discussion now we can make, some other time I'll make it for you, that how a person must make up for this. If he has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not performing salat or giving zakat or fasting, or not giving sadaqatul fitr, or not paying his zakat, or not going for hajj, how he can redeem it? Then we got the rights of mankind. The rights of mankind are important, and are so important. One small example, that if you owe someone money, then you must pay him back. And until you do not pay him back, then you will not be forgiven. You will not be forgiven. You will have to pay him back. And it is rather said that going for Hajj and Umrah, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going out for good causes, whilst not paying our debt and incurring more debt, this is detrimental to the spirit of Islam. And a person will not spiritually progress. The respected elders, I see time is going, so let me proceed to the next part, that generally, when does a person reform and how can he reform? There are four methods. One is, as recorded by Sulaiman Durrani Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that his reformation process took place in the following manner. He says he should attend the gatherings of the ulama and the mashayikh, and the scholars of his time, the righteous, pious scholars of his time. And whilst he was there, in that gathering, in that mehfil, in that majlis, in that session, he should feel very happy. And he should feel his heart is pounding with iman, and he should feel nice and comfortable, and he should be reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should feel that now he will change, and now he will reform, and now he'll become a better person, and he should feel extremely comfortable in those gatherings. He should feel that he does not want to leave those gatherings. He should feel nice when he should listen to the discourses of the ulama, and he should feel so filled and nourished while listening to the ulama's discussions. And he says that as soon as he should go outside the masjid, he's back to normal, like most of us. That after you're listening to the talk, or whilst you're listening to the talk, or when you're listening to the Jummah talk, or you're listening to a good speaker, then you feel very comfortable, very nice. Then as soon as you go outside the masjid, then unfortunately, who hit who for a six goes on. So he says that was his position. Then he decided, no, he must make firm resolution while he's sitting there, that this kafiyat, that this condition must last longer. this good condition that I must change, I must reform, I must bring my life according to the Sunnah, I must please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must earn the mercy of Allah. He said, I wish I could bring this thing longer. So what he, now he was getting blessed, he says, a stage reached that I should leave the masjid now, I should leave the gathering, until my house, that condition should remain. This condition that I must change, I must please Allah, and the state of ecstasy, and this nice and comfortable stage should last till the door. And as soon as I see my house and my khandan and my family members and the people of my house, then everything dissolves. This also happens, isn't it? That as soon as you see the wife, then there's new Shariat enforced. And when she sees you, and she is trying to become pious, when she sees you, then she has to change you to another Sharia. Then we got another problem also, unfortunately, which I must mention, that you'll find many, and this is a disease now, that is why I have to mention it, that many a brother, when he talks to the Mufti, he will talk in very comfortable words, and very sweet words, and very affectionate tones. And he will give the Maulana and the Mufti and the Sheikh such an impression that, you know what, I just came down from Jannah. And when he goes home, then he's like a tiger in that house. As soon as he opens that door, he's rude to his family members, he's vicious, he's beating his wife up, he's swearing his children, he's not bothered about that. And all that piety that was near the Maulana, all that disappears. All that righteousness with his companions, all that dissolves. And with his wife, who he's taking benefit from, he behaves so badly and unreal that you have strange relationships. Respected elders, you rather have a bit harder tone with the Maulana and the Mufti, but at home you go and behave very well. Because you're not staying with the Mufti, you're staying with your wife. Understand this point very well. So he said he made dua. And after that he said, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this kafir, this condition must last longer. And then it should last in his house also. Why? Because now he was bringing Islam in the house. He was bringing the laws of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the house. Implementation of Sharia was coming in the house. And most of us have also got this problem too. That we feel that Islam is only in the masjid. Islam must stay outside the doorstep of my business. Islam must stay outside at the doorstep of my house. Something else must come inside here. The ideology of kufr, shirk and bidah, the ideology of communism, imperialism, the ideology of France and Britain and America, that is the ideology in my house and in my business and in my affairs. But in the masjid, no, I'm okay. Yeah, I'll try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected elders, he says that then the situation arose that for his entire duration, he was now pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second method recorded in Kitab, how generally a person reforms, is what I term the jolting method. When a person is jolted into reformation. I give you examples of it. There was a person called Bishr Hafi Rahmatullahi. You must have heard of Bishr Hafi Rahmatullahi. Bishr Hafi Rahmatullahi, before he became Bishr Hafi, then he was immersed in comfort, luxury, aish, aram, singing, dancing girls around, food, fruit, everything around, thick carpet, sleeping, sessions in the night, everything happening in the house, free for all, everything, entertainment. So, one night while he was having this entertainment, full blast and full force and full go in the upper story of his building, everything was on high peak, luxury, comfort, singing, you name it was happening. And Durvesh, a simple pious person, knocked at his door. So the maid servant answered. So the simple pious person asked that,
Whose house is this? Is this a house of a free man or a slave? Is this a house of a free man or is this a house of a slave? She said, free man. He said, oh, that is why he is how he is. Oh, that is how, why he is how he is. And he went away. So, Nisha upstairs, he heard a little bit something was happening downstairs. So he came down, he asked his maid, servant, that, what happened? What was the knock on the door? Who came? What was the discussion? Where is that person? The person who is having royal life, he wants other people to have royal life, to so-called. Person who is must, you know, he is also having this desire, everybody must be drunk also. A person who is in ecstasy, he wants everybody in ecstasy. A person who is rollicking in this luxury, he feels everybody also, come join the party. So he went down to find out, have we got one more guest for this party? Then he asked the maid, what happened? He said, oh, the simple pious person came here, he looks okay. And he asked whether you are a free man or a slave. What you said? So I told him that you are a free man. So what did he say? He said this, that oh, that is why he is how he is. What this means? That is how, why he is behaving like how he is behaving. So he said, why? Oh, he asked her, what he said? So he said, oh, that is why he is how he is. He said, where he went? He went that way. He went that way. So this thing struck him. And this thunderbolt struck his heart and head. And struck his systems and inner veins and blood. And jolted him and shook him. He understood what this meant very well. He said, began to run after this person. And he got hold of him. And he told him that, say what you said again. Just say again what you said again. The person said, I just said that he is how he is. That is why he is how he is. Now, when Bishar ran from his house, he ran barefooted. And Hafi means barefooted. That is why it's called Bishar Hafi. Respected elders, that thunderbolt struck him, jolted him, he reformed, he changed, he left the comfort and ease of sin and pleasure and displeasure of Allah, came into the pleasure of Allah, came into the mercy of Allah, came into the proximity of Allah, came into the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, began to behave properly, reformed, changed and became the saint of his time. He was jolted into reformation. He was jolted into changing. He was jolted into becoming a better person. You must have heard of Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. Everybody, this is season now of talking of saints, I think. You know of Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi was the king's wrestler. He was the king's wrestler. Obviously, king's wrestler must have been good size. And must have been strong and powerful. And it was famous that no one could drop him down. No one could drop him down. There was a request from a weak person that I would like to take on Junaid Baghdadi. I would like to take on Junaid. So the people told him that you cannot take on Junaid. He just has to look at you, you'll fall down. You are so weak and so feeble. Looks like you haven't even eaten for a good few days. He just has to walk past you and push you, you'll fall down. He said, no, I want to take him on and I'll win. He said, but you cannot do this. Your life is at stake. We cannot risk you wrestling with Junaid. He insisted and persisted until such a time, they said, okay. Now, because it was, in their eyes, such a stupid affair and contest, everybody came. The news spread, one very feeble, thin, weak person is going to wrestle Junaid and he claims he's going to win. So it was said, the court was set. Those days it was a massive, huge festival. And this person who was weak and feeble stood looking at Junaid. Junaid looking at him. As soon as it was sounded that the round must start,
this person, he jumped on Junaid and he spoke to him in the ear. Told him something in the ear. Junaid fell down. Lay down, the person said on him, Junaid was the loser. He was like, what is that? What's going on? What happened here? Yeah? The Junaid just fell down, that person just jumped on him, Junaid just fell down. And lay down, this person sat on him. Obviously, these contests result in some money. The contest is not free. It will have a lot of money attached to it. Respected elders. So, in the night, Junaid sees Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream. And what that person told Junaid in the ears was that, oh Junaid, I am from the Sayyid Khandan. I am from the Sayyid family. And myself and my entire family, we haven't eaten for numerous days. We are dying of starvation. We got no food. We got no money to purchase food. We are about to die. That's why Junaid realized that if he wins, he gets the money, he'll buy the food and feed his family. So he decided to lay down. Remember, he has put his dignity at stake. He's the wrestler of the age. He's put his honor at stake. He's the wrestler of this period. He's putting his entire career at stake. This person's whispering in the ear. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in the dream of Junaid and says that, oh Junaid, you honored us, we will never dishonor you. You honored us, we will honor you. You respected us, we will respect you. You have not let us down, we will not let you down. You have elevated us, we will elevate you. You have kept our lodge, we will keep your lodge. Next day he was saved for that election. For this action, simple action. Respected elders, you must have heard of Ibrahim Adham, Ramatullah Ali. Ibrahim Adham, Ramatullah Ali, he got various warnings. He was the governor of Balkh. Mansion, palace, governor, pomp, glory, seats, money, wealth, horses, cattle, camels, everything at disposal. He got various warnings. One was that he went on a hunting trip, expedition, and he had a huge entourage. Entourage, you understand, people front of him, side of him, front of him, everywhere, back. And when he was left alone with the prey, due to circumstances, with divine intervention and divine power and kudrat, innallaha ala kulli shay'in qadir, the prey spoke to him and told him that, Ibrahim, you are hunting us, we are hunting you. He got shocked. One jolt. So, okay, some people require many jolts. So, one day he is sleeping in his luxurious bedroom, comfortable, Aish, Aram. He hears on his roof, on the roof, on the other roofs there, certain people walking. So he comes out infuriated, angry, and he calls to them, and he shouts to them, that, oh people, what are you doing? They say, we're looking. So what are you looking for? And what are you looking for at this time of the day? They say, no, we're looking for our cattle, they lost. So he gets very angry and says, but how are you going to find cattle at this time of the night? On my roof you would look for cattle? So they spoke back and they told him that, how do you expect to find your Rabb in that luxury? How do you expect to find the Rabb in that luxury? When we cannot find our cattle on this rooftop, how are you going to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that luxury and comfort that you are steeped in? Second jolt to God. Then, thirdly, one day he came into his bedroom and he saw his female maid, she was sleeping on his bed. Obviously, the governor's bed is comfortable, the governor's bed is luxurious, so she was sleeping. He got angry, infuriated, and he ordered her to be whipped. So, they whipped her. When they whipped her, she smiled.
So he told her, what is wrong with you? You're smiling. He said that, oh, he's right. Oh, master, that I lay on your bed, and due to the comfort of your bed, I slept off. And as a result, for that few moments I slept, you punished me. Can you imagine what will happen to you sleeping the hours on end? Can you imagine what's happening to you, going to happen to you? You sleeping the hours on end. He realized, now this is enough. He decided to leave the governorship of Malk and respected elders. He went away, left everything, became a saint. Now to all these saints, there are a lot of stories attached that what they left and what they got after that. One more I will tell you, comes to mind. Farid Attar, Rahmatullah Alayh, the one who wrote Tazkiratul Awliya. He was haberdashery merchant, in our terminology, haberdashery merchant. All these laces and everything hanging. So one person came to him and told him that, Farid, how are you going to die? So what do you mean, how I'm going to die? I'll die, when it times up, I'll die. He said, but how are they going to take your soul out of all these laces? How your soul is going to come out from the shop? From all these laces and heavy dashery. So what do you mean? He said, how your soul is going to come out? So the person said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought me with nothing in the world. I have got nothing. He laid out there, Farid Attar writes, and recited the kalima, drew the sheet over himself and passed it. So Farid said, oh, how am I going to die? I can't pass all through these laces and come out. He left. And he wrote the famous book, Tazkiratul Awliya, where these other stories are coming also from. Respected elders, understand something. In this age, this jolting is not coming anymore. This form of jolting, and this jolting was for that age. Maybe it is happening to certain servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not know. But the general rule is, it's not happening anymore. We are getting jolted in another way. Someone dies in our family. Someone passes away tragically in our family. Someone gets shot. We nearly get hijacked. And someone right near us, something just happened. He passes away. Calamities take place. Calamities from the sky descend. Floods take place. Fire comes along. Accidents take place. Simple things take place. Death occurs. Paralysis occurs. Diseases come about. Illnesses come about. Due to simple things. These are our jolties. These where we should realize that see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control. Only Allah is in full control. He can do what He wants to us. So we should try to change and go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before He jolts us and kicks us into reformation. Third method is that you sit with the ulama ikram, you sit with the pious people, you sit with the righteous people. Comes in the hadith that sitting in the company of the pious is equal to 1,000 rakats of salat. Even more, why sitting near pious people, righteous people, then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be on the gathering. There are malaika there. Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. That mercy will penetrate the heart of the one who is sitting. He will change, he will reform, and become a better person. There's a discussion on that too. Time does not permit. Fourthly, that before you sleep or before I sleep, I should make muhasabah. That I should take stock. I should take stock what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and what have I done with it. For 24 hours, it will take us 5 minutes to take stock. When I got up, did I make my Fajr Salah? Did I eat halal for lunch? Did I eat al-halal for the whole day? My earnings, is it halal? Did I speak properly over the phone? Was I rude to anybody? Did I look at someone wrongly? Did I abuse someone? Did I slander someone? Did I backbite someone? Did I steal or thief? Stealing does not mean necessarily taking one gun around. Did I steal with my tongue deceptively? Did I con anybody? Did I fool anybody? Did I laugh at anybody? Did I perform my Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha? Am I coming onto the Sunnah? Am I acting on the Sunnah? Am I pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I getting the wrath of Allah or the pleasure of Allah? If I have to die now, will I go to Jannat or will I go to Jahannam? If I die now, what will be the condition of me in the grave? Do I respect my elders? Do I show affectionate to my children? Am I happy with my family? Do I treat people well? Am I harming anybody? Human being, Muslim or non-Muslim, Kafir or Muslim? Am I harming even the animals? How am I behaving? Did I park my car properly so that no one gets harmed? Did I do all actions properly so that no one harms me also? Rule is that I must not harm anybody and no one must harm me. Am I in debt? Am I coming out of debt? Am I going towards interest or am I going away from interest? So all these things take very few minutes, just as I mentioned. Sitting down, sleeping, just before sleeping, make an account. Draw a balance sheet quickly in the mind. That we die before we die. Mutu anta qabla al-maut. That die before we die. Take stock before stock taking is taken of us. Account for ourselves before accountability is taken on us. Judge ourselves before judgment is on us. Unfortunately, respected elders, that we are too good and we have become professionals in judging others, not ourselves. We are not prepared to look at the mirror and look at ourselves. We think we are very pious. We think we are very righteous. We think we are capable of walking on the water and flying on the air. We are not looking at our actions, we are looking at the actions of the entire world. We are not looking at our behavior, we are looking at the behavior of the world. That is why gossip, slander, backbiting has become the order of our day, in our homes, in our lives, in our premises, in our factories. Are we enjoying what is good? Are we forbidding what is evil? Are we doing what Rabbi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do? Are we not doing? Respected elders, in this respect, we define for you what is sin, what is major sin, what is minor sin, what is still attached to the Anbiya alayhi salam, Sahaba ikram, Awliya ikram, ordinary Muslims, definition of hukukullah, hukukul ibad, and also the four causes generally which will make a person change his life. One is the first one that I mentioned to you. Second one was jolting. Third one was sitting with the ulama. The fourth one was muhasaba. And the first one, what I told you? Sitting with the pious. Sitting with the pious, the ulama ikram. So we've got four methods, respected elders, of abstaining from sin. And remember one thing, that a person, until he recognizes sin as sin, he will never change. The first action a person must do, that he must realize that I am sinning. When a person realizes that I am sinning, then inshallah he will change. So that's the most important thing, that you and I should sit carefully and draw a list, that these are my sins, and recognize and realize these are sins. That's halfway to reformation. To realize that, listen, this is a sin, I must stay away, otherwise I will be punished. So he must focus himself that this is a sin, pay attention to the sin, abstain from the sin, make dua, take the remedy from the ulama, how must I abstain from the sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow him inshallah to stay away from the sin. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.